This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. 3 years after he burst onto the political scene for ousting a longtime Republican incumbent, Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz continues to be a rising star in the GOP. That's becoming more apparent as he talks about possibly running against Utah Senator Orrin Hatch in 2012 and continues to be one of the few Republican voices calling for a full troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. I had this conversation with a busy Congressman Chaffetz while he had some time between taking votes. Congressman, how soon do you think it's looking like an agreement will be reached on raising the debt ceiling, if one will be reached at all?
Not soon enough. I think everybody wants to address this and get on with it. You don't want to scare the markets, but at the same time, we got to make some major changes in this country. We can't keep continuing with the status quo.
Do you think all options should be on the table, or do you agree with many of the Republicans who believe there are many options that should not be on the table, particularly when it comes to revenues?
Well, look, we've taken a pretty strong stance in saying it's not a time to raise taxes. Just not a time to do that. Our spending is out of control. It's nearly between 24 and 25% of our gross domestic product. And if the president or the Democrats disagree with that approach, I think it's incumbent upon them to actually introduce a plan, not rhetoric, not a bumper sticker, but actually introduce a plan. We have, and I think the Democrats should do the same.
What exactly counts as a tax increase in this debate? Certainly there are various ways of labeling things as tax loopholes or that sort of thing. Do you believe that there are inconsistencies in the tax code that can and should be closed during these negotiations?
No, I'd love to. I mean, the House Republican budget says that we should broaden the base and lower the rates. That would necessarily get rid of a lot of the loopholes, some of which I agree with the president.
Congressman, tell me about the letter you recently sent to the Obama administration on border security.
Well, the concern was that the president, the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Border Patrol, all made some very aggressive suggestions that the border is now more secure than it's ever been, and that the towns that are on the U.S. side of this are more secure. But taking a sampling of, for instance, Nogales, which is where the biggest problem has been in that Tucson sector and others, boy, the crime rates have skyrocketed in the last 24 months. And so I want some clarification from the administration. If they're going to make a claim that it's more secure than ever, and I'm looking at crime rates with triple-digit increases in terms of their percentage of crime that's happening there, literally almost a doubling in the 24-plus-month period there in Nogales, I just don't understand how they can come to those conclusions.
Do you think that they're misleading for political purposes then? Is that where you're going with this?
Well, it's one of the possibilities, but really it was a question. It was, please explain this. These are the numbers I'm seeing. You're making some very outlandish claims. Let's see how do you rectify the stats that we're looking at in your claims? And I think they need a little bit of time to answer that question, but I also think it's a very legitimate question. You have a town of Nogales, roughly 20,000 people, and a crime rate that's gone up 100% on some of the major categories over a 24-month period. We need some explanation there.
What can be done when it comes to border security? It's my understanding that there have been, more National Guard troops along the border since the Obama administration took office. What could be done at this point, do you think?
Well, they've had spotty success. All across our border, northern, southern, there are sectors. The Tucson sector is where we've apprehended roughly 51% of the people that are trying to come here illegally, where the apprehensions are, about 219,000 people last year. 51% of those apprehensions are happening right in the Tucson sector. Yet right next to them is the Yuma sector. Yuma sector is actually having good success. And it's a combination of having a double fence, of instituting some detention policies that are a little bit more strict, that were phased in over the course of time. And yet you go down to the Tucson sector, and you go just a few miles outside of town, and there is no fence. There's just barbed wire. You walk right through it. I mean, I went down there a couple of months ago and looked at it myself. It's atrocious. So it's a very mixed bag. Nobody wants to just continually throw money at it. That's not always the solution. But I think the administration is trying to make a case that it's more secure than ever in hopes of trying to introduce some amnesty and some other programs that I would be opposed to. I don't think that just locking down the border is the only part of the solution. It's a critical component. It's a very necessary component. But we got to do some other things like visa reform and others in order to truly solve the problems and challenges we have with immigration.
Do you think when it comes specifically to the issue of border violence that it has a lot to do with U.S. Drug policy, and should that be a part of the discussion?
I think you have clearly you have some warring drug factions,
right.
Some cartels that are fighting for routes and territories and other things. You know, when they say upwards of 30,000 people killed south of the border, we've seen some of that violence now spilling northbound. I've been to some of those private ranches and whatnot where they've had this violence. You had a Border Patrol agent, Agent Terry, who was killed. It's very sad, and it's very real. It can't just be punted down and glossed over as if, oh, yeah, everything's getting better. It's certainly not.
The Speaker of the Utah House of Representatives, I'm sure you've read by now, recently wrote a very interesting op-ed piece in the Provo Daily Herald, specifically calling out every single member of Utah's congressional delegation on immigration, mentioning you by name and, you know, accusing you of dismissing Utah's efforts coming from the state legislature and saying that that was unhelpful. What was your response when you read that?
Oh, I think it's ill-informed. I think it was an attempt to deflect from the problems that she's having with SB 116. You can go person by person. I can only answer for myself, but mm-hmm. I have been very active week in and week out working on the immigration issue. No doubt, the federal government is failing. I totally concur with that sentiment. I understand the frustration that she and the state are feeling. I share that same feeling. But that doesn't mean we're not working on it. If it was easy, it would have been done a long time ago. But a host of people are working on it. And, I did a joint hearing, for instance, working with Rob Bishop on border issues that are very important that affect Utah. I was just in Mexico City weekend before last. So, meeting with the representatives from the federales, Attorney General's office. I've been working hard on the Fast and Furious. I mean, there are a lot of components to this. To suggest that we're not doing anything, that wouldn't be accurate either.
It seems like she thinks that Utah's delegation should help in this effort to get a federal waiver in order for Utah to implement HB 116, this guest worker permit. Is that something that you're not interested in doing? Do you think Utah should not get that waiver?
Well, I think they need an actual plan for submission and details about how that program would work. We have sent correspondence to, I believe, the state Senate asking for clarification, which we have not yet received. There needs to be a lot more meat on the bones before you try to do that. Personally, I have said I believe that the bill is unconstitutional. If I was a legislator, I would have voted against it. If I was the governor, I would have vetoed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to work with the state legislature. I'm very happy to do that. But we're going to need this needs to be a two-way street. We need to go back and forth. But again, I very much disagree with the bill, but it's going to cause some problems. And they know that they have to make changes. So it'd be interesting to see what they come up with.
We're speaking with Republican Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz of Utah's 3rd Congressional District. Congressman Chaffetz, tell me a little bit about what you think about, the gradual troop drawdown in Afghanistan and whether it's quick enough.
No, not quick enough. I think the president has fundamentally failed over the course of time to define success. I happen to think that success is bringing your troops home. I don't think we should ever think that that's anything short of success. I think it needs to be defined as a counterterrorism effort as opposed to a nation-building effort.
Mm-hmm.
I joined with Peter Welch, a pretty liberal Democrat out of Vermont, in trying to sponsor legislation and encouraging my colleagues to vote. We got a very interesting mix of Republicans and Democrats who supported us in that effort. But remember, still, even with the small gradual drawdown, the number of troops in Afghanistan is more than double than when President Obama first took office. So I just disagree with it. And I've had a lot of Democrat friends who join me in opposition to it.
Are you getting a lot of flack from within your own party for your position, with many people believing that no troops should be withdrawn from Afghanistan, it seems?
Oh, I'm a bit of an outlier in this, but I would point to people like George Will, the columnist, and I think he's got as good at solid conservative credentials as there are, he tends to agree with this type of position, and a lot of my colleagues on the Republican side. But clearly, the majority of Republicans are resistant to that. I disagree with them, but you know, I got to stand up on principle and fight for what it's right, not for what my party leadership necessarily wants.
Do you think there are more people within the Republican Party who at least might view it as a spending issue, you know, with us spending $200 million there per day?
Yeah, it's, and I'm not sure that that's the right number, but yeah, there are a lot of people who look at the spending. I think Americans will spend any amount of money to secure the homeland, but I don't think there's a clear and present danger in Afghanistan. And if there is a terrorist or a clear and present danger, then we need to go take them out.
Congressman Chaffetz, turning to political issues, your endorsement of Mitt Romney certainly has gotten quite a bit of attention here in Utah for the simple fact that you used to work for former Governor John Huntsman. What led to your decision to endorse Romney for president?
Well, one of my top goals is I want to beat Barack Obama. I think we need a change there. We need somebody who understands business and capital formation and can help turn around our country financially, and I think that Mitt Romney is in the best position to do that. Now, that's nothing negative against John Huntsman Jr. I'm very grateful for the time and experience that I had as his campaign manager and as his first chief of staff. It was a great 2 years. But nevertheless, I want to beat Barack Obama, and I think that Mitt Romney is in the best position to do that.
Huntsman's fiscal record, though, seems to be pretty conservative when you consider that he implemented the flat tax. He had a pretty good record when it came to job creation. Did you consider that?
Oh, sure. I think John Huntsman is much better than Barack Obama as well. In fact, I would venture to say probably most of the Republican candidates, if not all of them, are better than Barack Obama. But, you know, this is a horse race, and you got to get behind the one that you think is in the best position to win, who is demonstrated leadership skills, and in this particular case, and this, you know, based on who's on the field and who has the network across the nation and the fundraising capabilities and all of those things, I think I'm very supportive of Mitt.
Do you have reservations about, for example, the so-called Romney Care of Massachusetts or his previous record as somebody who used to be a pro-choice, for example?
Oh, hey, there are things I definitely disagree with Governor Romney and with the others. There's no one candidate that I agree with 110%. But I think he's probably the best person for the job. I think he's an incredible leader. I've had the great good fortune of interacting with him over a long period of time, and I just think he's the right person at the right time.
Turning to your own political plans, Congressman Chaffetz, how close are you to making a firm decision on what you're doing in 2012?
Well, and I appreciate asking that. I probably sometime, early in the fall here. Now that it's sunny here in Utah, I think people have got focused on getting a little sun on their shoulders, maybe a little round of golf in, that sort of thing. not much. These elections are long enough, so we got plenty of time.
But you have said that you are probably going to run against Senator Hatch, right? I mean, that's what the Tribune editorial board reported, I believe.
Yeah, I moved from a definite maybe to a likely, for whatever that's worth. But yeah, I'm definitely thinking about it, and it's certainly not the path of least resistance. But I still mulling that over, but certainly making a lot of steps towards that move.
What are the factors that would go into, you know, deciding to take on a fellow Republican, especially one that has been around in the Senate for 36 years?
Yeah, well, can you make a difference? Can you make a bigger difference? Do the people and the delegates and the voters, do they all want you to do that? Are they ready and open to a change? I think clearly the answer to that is yes. Obviously, talking and working with my family and, you know, can you raise the money? Can you build the grassroots organization that it's going to take? So all of those have become part of the discussion.
What specific qualms do you have with the senator's record? Are there any specific issues?
Yeah, I mean, I just disagree with him on a host of issues. Debt ceiling is 16 times. He personally voted to raise the debt ceiling. I think that's part of the reason we're having these major discussions now. Another 10 times he allowed it through unanimous consent to pass. Then you look at 26 times where the debt ceiling was raised, where he could have stood in the way of it or at least voted no. Everything from TARP to sponsoring a bill that had an individual mandate into it, No Child Left Behind. Gosh, I want to repeal No Child Left Behind. There shouldn't even be a federal Department of Education. So I can keep going down the list. It's a long list. There are a lot of things out there. I'm not here to blame all the country's ill on Senator Hatch, but I think a lot of the messes that we're trying to clean up now were in part created with bills that he sponsored or voted for. And at the same time, I think people understand and recognize that getting new, fresh blood with new eyes, new energy, might be a good thing as we try to tackle some of our nation's policies. It's not intended to be a lifetime appointment. It's intended to be get in, serve, and get out. So I think the market, if you will, the people in Utah are certainly ready for a change.
It was on the same program, Congressman, that Senator Hatch told us that you had personally pledged to him that you weren't going to run against him. Did no such conversation ever happen?
Nope. I'd be fascinated to know when he thinks that happened, and what meeting and what setting, because I've met with him rarely. I did sit down with him and explain to him that I was not going to run against Senator Bennett, so wrong senator, but I didn't have that conversation with Senator Hatch about him. I had it about not running against Senator Bennett.
Uh-huh. What kind of financial resources do you think it would take to be able to defeat him?
Well, I think I could probably do more with less, so $500,000 or so. Look, there's only 3,300 delegates or so, so I don't know how much money you're going to spend, but 3,300 delegates is, you don't need millions in order to do that.
Congressman Chaffetz, once the debt ceiling negotiations are over, once that impasse is resolved and we reach August 2nd, what do you think needs to be done to really start creating jobs in this economy? What are the most immediate things that Congress can do to alleviate the what we're going through right now and avoid a double dip recession?
I think one of the most critical things, going up to 60,000 feet, if you will, mm-hmm. is stability. There needs to be predictability. The market, if you're going to make a major capital investment, start hiring new bodies, invest in equipment, those types of things, you want to know what your tax structure is going to be like. You want to know what your health care is going to be. You want to know what your energy costs are going to be. To the greatest extent we can create certainty, that would be good. But it's so volatile right now. The price of fuel has just skyrocketed. It's more than doubled than when Barack Obama took office. You got a health care system that nobody really knows how it's going to work. You've got uncertainty in the tax code. You got these question marks in the bond market about our ability to pay off the debt and limit our spending in the federal government. All of these, you got new departments and agencies that President Obama has created and supported, Consumer Financial Protection Board that's inhibiting our ability to actually extend credit out in the marketplace. All of these things are hindrances to capital formation. And we're growing government. That's clearly happening, but we're not growing jobs, and the marketplace needs a stable, steady, predictable regulatory environment, a strong, stable, steady government in order to make those kinds of investments. And until it does, I think our economy will struggle.
Are you going a little too far, though, in blaming the economic woes largely on the White House?
I know the president likes to say what he inherited, but, I ran for Congress because I thought that the Republicans who had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, they
right.
blew it. They spent too much money. They created a lot of this mess. But the reality is Democrats now are in the White House. So take the personal responsibility, stop blaming George W. Bush, and let's talk about how we're going to move forward. I think that's what the American people want. They don't want finger pointing. Both parties have been culpable in the past. I didn't create this mess, but I am here to help clean it up. So these are my suggestions, and we ought to work in a bipartisan way to try to get these things done.
And finally, Congressman Chaffetz, when it does come to reducing spending, are you willing to endorse cuts that do have an impact on, capital projects that occur in your district, occur in Utah?
Yeah. Today on the floor, we were voting on some spending cuts in defense. I think we're going to need to look at all areas. And understand that we've had massive run-ups in spending, and we're going to have to cut some of those back. And one of the big things we were able to defeat were earmarks. When I first came into office, earmarks were a big thing. In fact, our senior senator, Senator Hatch, said, if you're not asking for earmarks, you're not doing your job. And I said, well, Senator, with all due respect, I came to change the way we do business. And guess what? We won that one. There aren't inner earmarks now. So that, I think, is a positive development. But still, the overall spending continues to go up, and it's just intolerable. We can't stand for it.
That was Republican Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz of the state's 3rd Congressional District. I caught up with him while he was between taking votes. This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We'll be right back.